Live from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, mayoral candidate Paul Iamori.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guests, Gunda Boys. I am Mark Lejeune, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
To say I'm excited about today's show is an understatement. Today is different. Life changes all the time. And here we are embarking upon yet another change and some very interesting guests, both guests and musical guests. I put them in together, and on my way to the show, I have to say this weekend was a very big weekend for all of us, actually, here at the Life Changes team. For example, Mark and I were doing the recalibration, and we worked with veterans, and it was a completely different experience than the recalibration we've done, period. And we want to, first off, give a big shout-out to Heaven and Earth Oasis, who made it happen, Valerie Heath, who brought in so many wonderful people to experience this. I could get emotional. It was just so transformational, and how many people thanked us and with tears in their eyes and all of that. And it just goes to show what can be done with love, actually. And we're going to be talking about that today. And then Dorothy, it's interesting that both Mark and I got to walk in at the tail end of the Energetic Alchemy workshop that was happening this whole weekend too, and talk about love and the energy that they all put forth in the Energetic Alchemy workshops. It's just amazing. So one of the experiences I had, it has nothing to do with the recalibration or Energetic Alchemy, but it has to do about life, and I thought about it this morning as we were getting prepared for the show. One of the ladies at the recalibration during lunch, I noticed, had a beautiful ring on, a big teardrop pink something. And I wasn't sure what it was, but it was flanked by two big diamonds. And so I gathered that it must be something of quote unquote financial value. So I asked her about it, like, where did she get it, or, you know, what it meant to her. And I said, by the way, what is the stone? And she said, when I got it, it was a pink topaz. And I started to laugh as if she was going to tell me that the stone changed. And so interestingly enough, she was going to tell me that the stone changed, at least what they thought it was. So this is the story she told, and this is how she told it. For her, the interesting thing is that the stone changed. For me, it was this. She told me that the stone she bought from a woman who didn't have very much money, who complained about being poor and was selling jewelry that she had gotten wholesale or something like that, and told her she could give her a discount on this pink topaz that she had. And she thought it was beautiful, so she bought it as a pink topaz at a discount. Years later, she was at a jeweler, this person that was at the recalibration, and asked her how many carats this pink topaz was. And the jeweler looked at it and analyzed it and came back and said, it's not a pink topaz. And she said, well, what is it? He said, it's a pink sapphire, which is a lot more rare and costs a lot more money than a pink topaz. And so she said, so not only did I get a deal on a pink topaz, she says, I got an extremely great deal on a pink sapphire. And that was her story, and she was really proud of it, and I could understand. However, where my mind went, especially since we're recalibrating, what is the story that the person who sold it at a discount on top of a discount, she sold something she didn't know she had, at a price that was worth much less than what it was. And where my mind went is that, first of all, she is making her own situation worse by not knowing who she is, what she has, and take an inventory of that. And then I thought, how many of us do that? How many of us throw love away, throw people who care about us away because they didn't give us a pink sapphire, or because they don't have this or that, or they and when what they have is genuine love, which actually might be worth, if they really looked at it, a lot more than the gifts or what have you. So that's how I thought of it in reference to what today's show is about, which is about love in so many ways. So I wanted to put that out there. Can't wait to get back on with our guest, Paul Iamore, and in a little bit, live music here by the Ganga Boys, Ganda Boys, all live on the Life Changes Show right after this.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I'm sitting here with Mark LeJour. Thank you, by the way, for all the great work you did this weekend.
Thank you. It was intense. I'm glad you called it back, because the both experiences were so amazing. And like you said, the energy, walking in and seeing the Energetic Alchemy people on top of what we had just been through with the recalibration was rewarding, to say the least. But I'm excited about our guests and our musical guests tonight. We have a really interesting and a really deep, soulful show tonight. Paul has a background of being a champion for self-expression and being in the entertainment world, and has taken this campaign on very seriously, and has his facts in a row built around love. And I think that's a conversation that really needs to be had. So I'm excited to have it.
Well, and because of Paul, we've titled this show The Politics of Love. And our guest is the founder of The Love Party, and we're going to learn more about that in a little bit. And yes, he is running for mayor of Los Angeles, the city. However, he's been the mayor of Lightning in a Bottle for many years, actually. And so with us today is Paul Iamore. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you here. The way you go about this campaign is completely different. And it's interesting how we have seen some different campaigns lately.
That is for sure.
So who's to say that this isn't a new way, and more power to you. So tell us about how you're running your campaign differently than any other campaign has ever been run, probably.
Well, certainly. Thank you for pointing that out. I mean, first of all, I would like to say that if we look at our politics, certainly in Los Angeles, for example, what we're seeing is a city that's very divorced from their local politics. A lot of people right now are incredibly impassioned by what's happening on the national stage. And I've been delighted to see so many people who haven't been active politically before taking part in a political conversation, getting out there, raising their voices, being very passionate. But I don't see that necessarily translating into local politics.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have an election coming up on March 7th, and we will be lucky if 15% of LA turns out to vote.
Wow.
Yeah. So you talk about running a campaign differently. My approach is to try and inspire people, to give them something, a symbol that they can get behind, in my case, love. That they can get excited about and say, well, maybe politics can be for me. Maybe politics is not something that I have to be divorced from, that I look up and say, this is something I could never be a part of. But in fact, it's something that's vital and important and something that I can be active. If Amori can do it, why can't I?
So you're trying to, you're doing a lot of things, actually, all at once here. One of the things you're doing is you're trying to get people aware that, hello, there is an election.
Absolutely.
Talk to us about that.
It's one of my number one platform goals. When we started this process, it's been, you know, we've been working on towards this for over a year. We announced my candidacy in November of last year, 3 days after the election, which, like so many Americans,
the national election,
which, like so many Americans, I assumed, you know, was going to go a certain way. We assumed it would go for Hillary. 3 days later, when after Trump had been elected, and I had many a dark night, saying to myself, "What does the world really need right now? Is my message important? Is this the right way to approach something when there's so much distrust and so many people were so appalled by the way in which Trump has run his campaign and was then elected?" I felt like I better make sure that what I'm offering is something really authentic and vital and important to people. And in the end, I came to the conclusion that if I am coming from my heart and truly bringing a message of love to people, that what better way to run a campaign, what better model in this time than that?
So you founded the Love Party.
We founded the Love Party. The Love Party has shifted. It has morphed. Originally, I thought it was a third party. I do believe that our two-party system is inherently challenging for us as a country, that it's generally one step forward, one step back, and we end up in this stasis. We never seem to move too
divisive.
Far. It's very divisive. It pits people against each other. And so I do believe that, you know, we probably really need a viable third party if we're ever going to make major change in this country. That said, what the Love Party has become for me, as I've dug into this and as I've really opened myself to love in all avenues, I mean, my first question is always, what would love do when I approach anything? And when you ask yourself that question, there aren't too many. It's pretty clear which way to go. It's. I think of it as a true north, that love is your compass heading, always pointing you in the right direction. And when you ask yourself that question, when I started applying that to what is a love party, I realized that how could I create another party that was, in its own way, would still be divisive. And so instead, what the Love Party is becoming for me is an affiliation that anyone could take, any politician could take on, whether you're a Democrat, whether you're a Republican, whether you're an independent, and you could say, look, I'm a Love Party candidate, and what that means is that I stand for the people above my own interests, above the interests of the donors, the lobbyists, the corporations. I stand for freedom of expression. I stand for equality. And it basically is a commitment to love in politics, heart-first politics.
You've done something that I've never heard of before. You have actually interviewed the other candidates as well, or at least almost half of them.
Yes.
What's that about? What spurred that on?
Again, if your heart is your guide and you're running a campaign, and one of the main reasons I decided to run, I've been talking about in the festival world, this idea of voting for love. It was how I was originally elected as the mayor of Lightning in a Bottle, was this campaign of voting for love. And when I saw the division that was being sown long before we knew who was going to be president, there was still so much contention and anger. And I thought, wow, what if we actually tried to make voting for love a practical idea? And when you think about how you run a campaign, if love is your guide, then you're not tearing down the other candidates. You're celebrating them, and you're saying, this is what I appreciate about you. I love this idea. I love that you've done this. Wow, I might want to borrow that. I thought, well, rather than doing ads where I talk negatively about the candidates, why not get to know them and speak about what I love about them?
And what has their reaction been?
It has been one of the great joys of this campaign, and I actually think that nothing really embodies my campaign more than these interviews with the other candidates.
How interesting.
And I have formed incredible camaraderies with many of them. I mean, I talk to many of them on a daily basis about how we can get more people out there and to be aware of what's happening and to be aware of the election. And this alliance has formed amongst the candidates, amongst many of the candidates. And I think that doing this has helped to spur that on.
We have your campaign speech on our Life Changes page with your name on it. Now, if we wanted to see these other interviews, would we go to voteforlove.com?
Yeah, you can see them on voteforlove.com, also on our Facebook page, Facebook Pauli Amore.
Pauli Amore, and that's E as in the letter E.
Great.
Now, Vote for Love, I will say, is the number four. So vote
number four, love.com.
Love.com. Okay, I want to check those out myself.
Yeah.
I I didn't know those were there. So I'm glad to know that. And when I come back, you've also done something with your campaign manager, actually, that is also something that it seems like it's never been done before, or at least it's needing to be done now. And that is, you have actually created a debate. Let me just let you tell it when we come back with Paulie Iamore on the show, and a little later on, Ganda Boys are here live all the way from the UK, and we'll talk more about them when we're back on the Life Changes Show after this.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him, then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, "I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down, I never give up." A second grader named Chandler said, "I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life." And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, "This is a great story. Bravo, Shadow." The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino, on our archive page at lifechangesnetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and of course our guest, Paul Iamore, who is founder of the Love Party, and he is running for mayor of Los Angeles. We talked about how people didn't even know that there was a mayoral race coming up, and actually, you've already made change already by letting people know that there's a race going on. But so already, your campaign also has done something else and created a debate. So let's talk about that.
Certainly. So one of the shocking things I've come to understand in this process is that this election is not being covered. The press has done very little to let Angelenos know that there is an election. And you go out onto the street and talk to people, as we've been doing. One of my other video series, which is called Politics, I get out onto the street and I talk to voters just talk to people on the street about what's happening in LA and in their politics. And we ask people, do you know when the next mayoral election is? Do you know who the current mayor of Los Angeles is? And 9 out of 10 times, people couldn't answer either question. So the process is not being fostered, neither by the democratic process, neither by the city or by the press. We've had to ask ourselves why that is. But in order to get the candidates talking, to let voters know what their choices are, which is a big part of my efforts and certainly a big part of the interviews with the other candidates, the candidates, getting candid with the other candidates over coffee is what the series is called.
Nice.
And a big part of that is not just to get to know the candidates and to have a loving discourse, but to let voters know about their options. And there are some fantastic candidates. There are people out there that I love their policies. And I want Angelenos to know what their choices are. And so we have been trying to create more opportunities for that discourse and dialogue between the candidates and to allow for people to be able to get to know these candidates. And so My campaign manager, Jeff, has been very dogged about trying to create more forums and has successfully gotten us a debate or forum that is nonpartisan. We are stepping away from it. We just helped to set it up. And now we're stepping away from it to be participants like the other candidates in it.
Wow. And when's that happening?
That's happening on March 1st. And
so those that are interested can go to your website.
It'll be on the website, and of course we'll be publicizing it as well. And Susan Hirasuna from Channel 11 from Fox will be moderating it.
Nice. So, are they covering it also?
I believe someone will be there covering some portion of it.
Well, and the interesting thing is, you know, I didn't know this myself, actually, that you were telling me how the mayoral election is separate from the state.
It's an off-cycle election, right?
Right. And I never knew why.
Nor I. I mean, this is fascinating stuff. So again, in my series Politics, we're delving into local city government. And in the second episode, we talk about why it is that Angelenos are so disenfranchised from their politics.
It would seem that if it was, we were voting for state things as well, you know, that more people would come out, kind of thing.
Absolutely. And to that end, there was an amendment passed in 2015 that now this next election, so this mayoral, the next mayor of L.A. will have a 5.5-year term. And that is precisely to catch us up.
Oh, really?
With the gubernatorial. Okay. So this is a very important campaign, in fact.
Interesting.
Because 5.5 years is it's a long time to be in it. We want to make sure that we have a mayor who's really taking care of the people. The founders of Los Angeles, who came from big cities like Chicago and New York, were very concerned about who was showing up to vote. Mm-hmm. They didn't like the fact that immigrants were showing up. They didn't like the fact that minorities and lower income people were showing up to vote. And they wanted to make it harder for them. They wanted the quote-unquote best and brightest to be voting in these elections. And so they made it harder for people, to know about these elections. The one big step to do that was to make these off-cycle elections. So if you look at who's showing up for a presidential election in Los Angeles, you get at least 50%, generally speaking. Mm-hmm. But when our election cycle is about 5 months later for the citywide election, people are checked out. They've got, you know, certainly from this last election, there's a lot of voter fatigue. Mm. And people just don't even know what's happening. So it was intentionally sort of done to us, and we've become complicit in it, and it's gotten worse. The last mayoral election in 2013, roughly 20% of LA showed up. And again, this time we'll be lucky if 15% show up.
How powerful out of sight, out of mind can be.
Truly.
If people are unaware.
Truly. Again, it's hard to be apathetic about something you know nothing about.
Right. So already your campaign has done some things, and congratulations and more power to you. And you also have big plans to do a lot of other things. So let's talk about whether you become mayor this time or not. You plan on continuing to the next voting cycle or do other things. And this is your campaign, at least the foundation of it. Let us know more about it.
Certainly. Look, for me, the most important part of my campaign, win or lose, is about shifting the paradigm. We're talking about how politics have become incredibly divisive. Basically, it's us against them instead of all of us together. Mm. My number one issue, the thing that I am most concerned with in Los Angeles right now, is our terrible, terrible homeless epidemic. We have the worst chronic homeless population in the country. We have 30,000 roughly homeless in the city of LA, 50,000 in the county, and it's getting worse and has gotten dramatically worse over the last 4 years. Mm. So for me, the conversation has to be about what are we doing for each other as people? How are we bringing each other closer? How are we helping each other? Mm. That's to me what politics should be about. It should be about serving the people and making sure that all people are taken care of and acknowledging that some people are simply going to need our love, our help. A certain portion of our society simply needs our love. And so I truly believe that whatever happens in this election, bringing this conversation of love into the topic of politics, something you normally don't think of as going hand in hand, but something that I believe absolutely should be hand in hand, should be a huge priority for us as a country.
Wow. And you're starting here in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles is a very visible place to launch a platform from, and has a lot of issues that I think truly can be addressed by love. I think homelessness truly can be solved through love. And I'm happy to tell you how I think we do it. But
and you have a couple other platform
absolutely.
Key points.
Absolutely. So homelessness is number one, but there are other issues in Los Angeles that contribute to people who are becoming at risk for homelessness. For instance, we have a terrible housing shortage in Los Angeles. One of the very controversial measures on the ballot in this coming election is a measure called Measure S. Which is all about trying to limit, put a moratorium on building. And it's a very powerful measure that I've been really challenged to understand. And I think a lot of people in LA don't understand this measure. But essentially, what the measure is saying is that there is quite a bit of corruption in City Hall. There are a lot of people who are lining their pockets from developers. And we have a city plan that is massively out of date. And as a result, buildings that are being put up and the building that is happening is often not low-income housing. It's often housing for the rich. Oftentimes, these buildings that are put up sit in two-thirds vacancy for long periods of time. And it's causing a crisis in which we have no affordable housing in Los Angeles. And so there is this need to really catch up and to start to build more and more affordable housing. And that's a big part of my platform as well, is how do we use cutting-edge building techniques to create more housing and housing for the homeless, of course. Traffic reduction is something that we're concerned about, trying to show some love to the film industry, who is fleeing the town that this is the industry that made L.A. great, and yet they're fleeing. Film and television industry are fleeing LA in droves for states and countries that offer higher tax incentives. So those are a few of the ones we're most passionate about.
Well, when we were talking earlier, before the show, you were saying, and then you also referenced it here, and I find this fascinating, injecting this idea of love into politics. And one of the places my mind goes is that love is actually used a lot, maybe not visibly in politics, but maybe subliminally or subconsciously. It's there. All the commercials that we see, they show love being used, and our candidates love their families and this and that. And so love is used a lot. So love being used authentically, however, is...
Well, and I would challenge one thing with that statement, which is it love being used to create policy? In other words, shouldn't the...
It's used against us is basically what I'm getting at.
Exactly. I mean, shouldn't love be the core value by which we create the policies that shape our politics?
Love being used to sell versus, like you're saying, coming from a place of love when you're actually considering how to approach the...
Exactly. So for instance, I mean, in a very easy example, you know, someone comes up to you as a politician and says, I want to build this housing and I'm going to pay you lots of money to get this housing jammed through. Well, who's the housing for? Is it going to create more housing for people who need it and who can afford it? Or is this going to create housing for only the very wealthy? Like, there are simple things, you know, you can look at policies. And unfortunately, too often people will go for the quick fix and the easy, well, that's love, that's going to provide some love to myself. But is it providing the most love to the most people? You know, and our politics should be about that, about serving the people.
And by people, of course, I would assume you mean everybody, but you're also pinpointing that there are people that are lacking in a lot.
I think that we have to examine how are we creating the most welfare for the most people? Certainly, you know, it's very hard to please everybody. You have to follow your heart, and some of these choices, anytime you're in a political arena, can be quite challenging. And you have warring factions and all of these people coming at you from all of these different places. But you have to look at the things with, is this creating love for the most people or for the fewest people?
You are definitely making yourself known from at least at this point, the way you dress and the whole, you're making a statement and you're getting out there.
there are ways to, you're getting noticed, and people are talking about you, and whether...
Oh, I'm glad to hear it.
And so, well, that, and so you've been brought to our attention, and here you are. So this movement, especially with the kinds of things that are happening out in the world, could be very interesting to watch. So vote for love, whether you're in Los Angeles or anywhere in the world, vote for love. The concept that you're putting forth, it's very interesting.
Thank you.
We'll have a moment to talk more about what people can get from you before we bring on the Gonda Boys here live in the studio on the Life Changes show. We'll be right back with Paul Iamori right after this.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and a little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. I am Filippo, sitting here with Mark. And of course, we have been talking with Paul Iamori. Learn more about him not only on our page, but go to voteforlove.com. And that's the number four, voteforlove.com. Now, For those who love this campaign or love the idea and feel that they could be a part of it and who don't live in Los Angeles, your plans, I think, are bigger than just Los Angeles. So tell us about that.
Absolutely. Look, I love Los Angeles. I don't want to say my plans are bigger than Los Angeles because Los Angeles is my city and I love it to death. And that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Okay, then love is bigger than Los Angeles.
Well, the love party will transcend Los Angeles. Okay. I would love for the love party to be a national and perhaps then even an international party and an affiliation. And for those who are interested and think this is a valuable idea, please contact us. You can email us at info@vote4love.com. If you connect with what I'm doing, spread the word, let people know about it. We certainly need donations for this campaign. And then afterwards, you know, we're going to be looking to build this out and to really start to spread the love out there into this world that is very divided and I think very fearful at this moment in time.
Well, your campaign manager is here. Why don't we share some love with him, mention him and some of what he's done with you?
Mr. Jeff Berman is my hero. He has been my bulldog, always out there on my behalf and on behalf of love. He's done so much to get this campaign out there and to, again, to raise awareness. He's been championing more debates, more forums, and I thank him every day for what he does.
So... Hear, hear.
We love you.
All right. Well, I wanted to end on a funny note. You say you are 110% grade A Amorican.
Amorican. That's right. And I love all my Amoricans, all those who want to be a part of the message, help to spread the love. Thank you, guys.
I love it. You come with your own language as well, and
absolutely.
It goes with the culture.
So your fans are Amoricans.
Amoricans. I'm ESL. Look,
Amoricans,
love was
lover
my first
of politics.
Language,
so. Love was my first language. Yes. That's great. Yeah, that's
my mother tongue.
Wonderful.
Well, great. Well, this has been fun, and also... Wow. I mean, to be able to put out a concept like this, and whatever, I mean, if whatever people think, that there's something here.
Thank you.
And so, you know, maybe somebody else will take this on.
Why not?
At a higher level or something, or maybe they'll want to join you, or who knows? There's something here, so
thank
more
you
power
so much,
to you.
And thank you for having me on the show. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Pleasure indeed. Thank you, Paul. So we are talking about people who are doing good. Let's talk about other people who are doing good.
Yeah, we got a couple of shout-outs to give this week. I wanted to talk about our friends at Metal International, who I believe are also big supporters of the
Vote for
Love
myself.
Campaign. That's right. And shout-out to Ken Rutkowski and his gatherings for dynamic entrepreneurs and change makers, connecting ideas with collaborators. MetalInternational.com. Also wanted to give a shout-out to our very own Brent Hahn and Studio NoHo, who makes us sound great every week. And you can go to studio-noho.net. They're an award-winning recording, designing, and mixer of radio spots and original music. And now...
Hear, Brent. Yeah. Hear, Brent. And actually... thanks to Tess Cacciatore and Gwen.
Absolutely. Shout out to Gwen. Global Women's Empowerment Network.
Is it March 8th officially? Launching March 8th.
Global Women's Empowerment Network.
Nice. Yeah, you can find her on Facebook. And, of course, she's all over our website. But because of her now, we have the Gonda Boys going to be coming on and sharing love with us here in the studio in just a little bit. But before that... Ask Dorothy. Some of our favorite answers come from Dorothy.
Yes,
so, Mark,
they do.
What do we got for
her
today?
Yes, they do. All right, Dorothy. Mike from Chicago asks, Dorothy, my kids are all over the place with social media, video, and the music they listen to. What's the best way to motivate them to want to find some peace?
Part of the problem is they are just simply not grounded. Their feet don't touch the ground. So it's really very important to encourage them to engage in group sports, take them for walks on the beach, hike, go to the forest. There are so many ways to touch the ground. And if they have to play with their phones and computers, there are so many wonderful apps out there that are educational. And they can Google and find apps for kids that actually do some good. The most important thing, I believe, and I thank Paul for the work he's doing, but kids need to be challenged with things that matter. And so I believe it's very important to introduce kids to ways they can be of service. Feed the homeless. Work in a community garden. There are just so many ways that they can do some good. Help clean the beaches. And give them lots of hugs and talk about things that truly matter. Thanks for the question, Mike.
Thank you for the answer, Dorothy. Yes, and if they were cleaning the beaches, maybe as they grow up, they won't mess up the beaches. So that's
good.
A good
treat
one.
The beaches with
I'm
love
for it. And I'd like to add to your answer, Dorothy. I think they could all come to the Energetic Alchemy Workshop, and boy, would they learn a lot there.
Yeah, I've had kids as young as 7 in my workshops who have just gone on to do great things. Thank you.
Well, I am excited. This has been a great show already, and now we're about to raise the roof with some special boys. They're men, but they're the Gonda Boys, and they're going to be here live with us right after this on the Life Changes Show.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential.
Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
We are back, and I am Filippo, sitting here with Mark, and we've got Polly Amori with us, and joining us in the studio are the Gonda Boys. Now, they're formerly known as Da Twins, and they were featured both acting and singing, and then their music was also on the BBC TV drama series Moses Jones. And they also were on a hit show on the BBC, and that was Peak Practice, actually. They are UK-based, but they are originally from Uganda, and they are just in America for a minute and in Los Angeles for 30 seconds. So we're so happy they're here. They are the Gonda Boys, and we have Dennis and Danny. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
I apologize for leaving out your last names, but I forgot to ask you before the show how to pronounce them, so help me.
Yeah, my name is Dennis Mugaga of the Gonda Boys.
And I'm Daniel Sewagudi of the Gonda Boys.
Okay, you said it better than I would have said it, so let's leave it at that. So thank you so much for being here. This is very exciting. And you both walked in here saying, we have a message for the mayor. That's how they said it, by the way, Paul, in case you missed it. So go ahead.
Oh, brilliant. Listening to the mayor talk about love, we have something to share. We just returned from the refugee camps in northern Uganda. Mm. Uganda being the second country in receiving refugees, next to Turkey. And Uganda in the northern part has seen its days. There have been civil wars with the Lord's Resistance Army. The people of Gulu, with close to nothing, are receiving refugees from South Sudan. They're embracing them, hugging them, settling them, and giving them land to cultivate and ensuring they can become human again. Now, I am talking about a place that is second, a country that is second receiving refugees in the world from Turkey, who are receiving from Syria. So when I hear someone talking about love being a solution and a political solution and over probably transcending all the material that we can provide refugees, which are very crucial. But what is making Uganda manage right now is the love, and I give it up to the communities and the tribes and the people out there that are doing it.
Wow, that's a message for every mayor in the world.
That's true.
And political leader, and thank you so much for that. And you all left Uganda.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We did. We did leave Uganda many years ago because our parents were involved in some political situations. Mm-hmm. We're very settled in the United Kingdom, and we were given the opportunity. Spent quite a big chunk of our years in asylum quarters, and it's very grueling. But we've given the opportunity to be educated, and we did university. And guess what? From nothing, we're here actually for the Grammys. We were listed for a nomination, mm-hmm. as part of the Forgotten People campaign. And we've played the United Nations. So give a displaced, a refugee, an opportunity, and you just can never know how far they can go.
Nice.
Bravo.
Well,
fantastic.
And we were connected thanks to, as I mentioned before, Tess Cacciatore. And together, you all are working on a film that was inspired by, of course, everything that you know and have seen firsthand. And I think Tess has too, but you lived it for sure. And you made a song about this. And the song is?
The Forgotten People.
The Forgotten People. And this is the song that was listed for Grammy consideration, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And is that what we're going to hear today?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, tell us, obviously we have the backstory. Now tell us the story of the song and the film that's coming.
Oh, the story and the film that's coming. Now, The Forgotten People represents, it's a voice for the voiceless. Mm-hmm. We're using our talent to tell a story. This song was written to represent those that are displaced, that are homeless, mm-hmm. or that are refugees. And it tells a story that encourages everyone to love as a solution to the refugee, global refugee crisis that is underway right now. Mm-hmm. Now, we traveled to Germany in Munich as part of the campaign for this song, and we joined refugees and Syrian refugees, children choir and the Syrian orchestra, mm-hmm. Who were refugees, and there were those that had just arrived from the boat crossing the dangerous Mediterranean that has killed many. They joined us in studio, and we sang this song. Now, we came to L.A., and we were joined by 25 Grammy Award nominees and winners. And then they put the voice onto the song. And our producer, Craig Prowess, who is also a Gander boy, who is not here, put it together. And it was listed for the nomination for the Grammys. We are looking towards making a movie out of it with Tess, of course, which put in pieces together. Mm-hmm. And we have great people that are going to come down, great actors that are going to come down, help us tell the story and push this forward. So when we heard the mayor say that love is a solution, we thought nobody else thought like we did. But I mean, amazing.
You know, my brother, to add on that, when Paul speaks about love, love is so beautiful. When we're doing it in Germany, those refugees that were on the boats trying to come to seek for, you know, that help, most of them drowned, mm. brothers and sisters and children. Yeah. They never made it. But when you talk about love, oh, it's speechless.
Well, I have a feeling we're all going to be speechless, especially after this song. And here they are, live in our studio right now. Dennis and Danny, the Gonda Boys, singing The Forgotten People on The Life Changes Show.
Ooh. Hey, can't hear the forgotten for all the days that are gone. Feel the longing or pain when your arms cannot carry on.
The forgotten people,
when will we know?
The forgotten people,
we never, never, ever come home. On a dusty road with a heavy load, counting down the days since the people betrayed. Child, child, rise, I wanna go home. No mommy, no daddy, lying still by the side of the road.
The forgotten people,
when will we know?
The forgotten people,
never, never, ever come home. Ooh, never come home.
Story never told, left out in the cold. Pain you can never know,
hunting the faces of all.
Children,
what future do they hold?
The forgotten people.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
The forgotten people. forgotten people.
And will we know
the forgotten people?
Gonda Boys, Dennis and Danny. GondaBoys.com is where you can learn more about them. That's Gonda, G-A-N-D-A, boys.com. What does Gonda mean?
A brotherhood.
Yes.
Gonda is a tribe of the old. It is located around the Great Lakes region of Uganda. It is from the Bantu and ethnicity, and it is a kingdom. But the word Gonda means brotherhood.
I wish our listeners could see your smile when you say that.
And to add on his point, it is very welcoming. Yeah. If you come home with the sunshine, Kampala, the capital city, is built on seven hills. And it's beautiful.
Yeah. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Mm.
You're right, Mark. Look at their smiles. Yeah. And look at that heart and love coming through on that song. Wow. I don't know how you could... It's not... You're not going to try and top it, but you got another hit for us.
Oh yeah.
So what are we going to hear now?
All right, we're going to listen to a song that is "I Know Who You Are." It was the soundtrack, Moses Jones' BBC primetime drama, mm-hmm. And it's we know who the bad guy is, and we just don't want him here. So whoever the bad guy is, just get out of the way. We want peace and we want love. And that's what this song addresses.
You know, you mentioned the TV series, and I just have to ask you, how did this happen? You were asked if you would sing a song or something, and then all of a sudden you're like, hey, we could sing. Not we could sing together, I mean. What was that?
Oh, no, we previously have been singing.
Oh, you have been singing?
Yeah, since we were children. But this time around, I told you, give a displaced, a homeless, or a refugee an opportunity, and you'll be very surprised. So it's a long story of how we ended up on the BBC program. But, to worse, it was just one of the best things that ever happened. And guess what? The music got nominated for a BAFTA, the score on the film.
Nice.
Which was part of the music. So
nice.
Yeah.
And so much more to come. Well, here is... I Know Who You Are,
yeah.
By Dennis and Danny, the Gonda Boys.
Thank you.
Live on the Life Changes Show.
Somebody that I know, I don't know about Novotia. Too much trouble, Kuchalo. I know who you are. Oh,
I know who you are.
And I'm ready for you. Oh,
I know who you are.
Well, I'm ready.
Yeah. Bami wajawe.
Hawa midomo midomo babera bajikuba.
Bami wajawe.
Hawa midomo midomo babera bajikuba.
Bami wajawe.
Hawa midomo midomo babera bajikuba.
Bami wajawe.
Sarah, I got money, money, man, I get no more. Yes, I'm obeying. Oh, no, sorry, sorry, please. I'm in the middle of the game. Brrrra, I
know who you are,
and I'm ready for you whenever.
I know who you are,
and I'm ready for war.
I know who you are.
Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. I'm ready.
I know who you are.
Bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. What a love.
Wow, I don't know how you could sing about topics like that with a smile and make us even dance and all of that. There's some power in there. I don't know what it is, but I'm tapping into it with you. Thank you so much, Ganda Boys.
Yeah.
Speaking of power and what you're tapping into, I have to give a shout out to your foundation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ganda Foundation, right?
Yeah, yes. .co.uk if you want to know more information. And also, we do have that Facebook. So if you're listening, I suggest you get your phone out and just Ganda Boys and Ganda Foundation. You can follow everything we do.
Follow, and they can send money for the organization that helps to combat poverty in the third world, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Well, I want to see so much more of you, not only in our studios, on our stages, what have you. I want to see, I look forward to seeing the film with Tess Cacciatore that you're doing. What's it called again? The Forgotten People?
Yes, it is.
Right? And I look forward to seeing it in theaters and seeing you on TV and bringing your message across the world.
Thank you so much
for being here. And thank you, Tess Cacciatore, for introducing us.
Thank you.
The Ganda Boys, GandaBoys.com. And again, one big thank you to Paul E. Amore for being here with us as our guest.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, that's our show. So with that, I do have to also acknowledge Brent Hahn here in the studio for making us all sound so good again.
Thank you, Brent.
Also acknowledge Doug Newsom at BBS Radio for being our program manager. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Donahue, our producer, Mark Legere, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes like ours just did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.